I knew you was watching, Matt. Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we pray, Lord, for complete protection on everybody's communication tonight, that your Holy Spirit and the angels are protecting everybody's communications so that we'll have a wonderful fellowship tonight in the name of Jesus. I bind and rebuke all spirits of the enemy trying to come against us in witchcraft curses. I cast them all down as void, null and void in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for blessing everybody tonight with wisdom and discernment with everything that's said. And we praise you for it, Lord. Bring to our mind, Lord, the scriptures that you want us to talk about and the scriptures that you want us to mention. And we praise you for doing that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty Holy Spirit that fills us and guides us and leads us in the things that you want us to be in, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody that comes tonight with your presence in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for opening up our spiritual eyes to see the things around us, the angels, everything, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us. Lord, we're coming into a wonderful time. And I ask and I pray, Father, that tonight the gifts will be in operation in everybody. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that tongues and interpretation of tongues, prophecies, all the things, all the gifts would be in operation. And there's more than we can even think. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that people who haven't been here, haven't listened to us, would open up and hear us tonight as we come together and fellowship with you leading us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for an open heaven tonight. That when we pray and we know and we believe what we're praying, we're going to receive it. And we praise you and thank you for it, Father. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Andrew.
Oh, yeah. I went to my son-in-law's today. I was getting ready for my day, you know, had my breakfast and had my bagel. and I get a text. So I go, oh no, you know, I'm getting interrupted from my Bible study time here. What's going on here? And I think the Lord wanted me to be a little more active in what I was doing. So I went over to my son-in-law's place. These are the ones who didn't receive me the first time. It was more my daughter, I think. But he was opening to listen, you know. Now he's got a past in Catholicism, and then his family, when he was about 8 years old, went to a Pentecostal assembly. And I don't think the Pentecostal assembly is really paying too much attention to some of their people. You know, they have to pay more attention to bring in the word to them, the gospel and stuff like that. So I think he's got some stuff from his past that he remembers. And I reminded him of how I was rebuked and told not to preach to them. You know, I reminded him about that. You know, I was there for 2 hours. I was mostly listening. You know, he's got some problems, you know, like most of the world has problems. He's got some, I guess, marijuana plants and stuff like that. I don't know what exactly it is. And he's quit drinking though. And of course he's the one, you know, he's going to be a daddy. So, you know, he's there getting the baby's room all together too, you know, and he's off work now on some sort of, mental stress leave. He's seeing a psychiatrist. I have some information about that, but I'll share that later. Anyway, he's on some medication. And I said, you know, this medication that you just took, you know, it might be a replacement for the liquor that you were doing, you know. And he says, yeah. And I said, you know, maybe you should keep an account of how many of them you're taking, you know. I thought I was going to go gung-ho in there with the Bible, but it really doesn't work that way, okay? I brought my Bible with me, though, and he's got a lot of interest in God, but he's got it mixed with New Age and pharmakia. You know, he likes the plants, too, and, you know, that's something that they talk about in church a lot, too, you know, so he's picking up these things when he used to go to church, too, you know, because I remember hearing about that stuff, too, and anyways, so he needs to give up some stuff. You know, I said, you know, we were candid. He wasn't, you can tell that he's on some sort of drug thing, you know, but he's very sociable and still able to talk and stuff. And, yeah. And he's afraid to bring this up, anything about this, with my daughter. Okay. I think she's caught some different spirits there. And he told me about his background, you know. So, you know, and he told him he bought a new bass guitar. So, and he's got his old one and his new one. I said, yeah, man, you could jam out singing to the Lord, you know, and you know, he's that way, you know. He's somewhere in that twilight zone. That's the only way I can describe it. So, you know, he's got a serious interest in God, though, you know. And he tells me that my daughter does too, you know, because they did have some background there in all these different denominations and stuff. And I was there for 2 hours and listened. He told me of a story on how he saved his friend's life. They were doing some drugs in a boat, and his friend fell overboard, face down, and he saved his life. And I told him, you know, see, your angels are looking after you, and he's looking after your friend too, you know. So, and he swam ashore with them, you know, and he said, yeah, you know. And he's reading, oh, I wish I could remember the guy's name. He's reading some book from some guy in England, and he's reading me a salvation message, and he doesn't understand it. And I said, well, yeah, did you see what it says there, you know? And, he talking about the manifestation of Christ, you know, and I said, yeah, you know, and I said, you know, really, I encourage you to continue with the Lord, pray, and I forgot to pray with him. I never thought of it, you know. Maybe that would have been too much anyway. And God's in control of this stuff, and I you know, at first I said, well, maybe me and Ben can come over. You know, if you feel more comfortable with Ben. And he says, yeah, but, you know, Megan's coming at 3 o'clock, you know. And so I said, okay, I'll go over. I had a lot of stuff to do today, too. And I said, better put all that on hold. But I got to do it anyway, so that was good. Anyway, so he needs prayer about drugs and some narcotics and the psychiatrist, you know, the psychiatrists, hopefully if he mentions the Lord, psychiatrists might step back a bit, you know, because, you know, this is a spirit thing involved here. And, you know, Sigmund Freud had a nemesis. I think I shouldn't use those big words. They're not in my vocabulary. Someone he really liked to be like, you know. Don't think I'm smart, please. I went to university for 35 years, and I'm as dumb as a doornail. So there's no nails in my door, though. anyway, a few screws though. Anyway, none of them are loose, but the hinge bolt is out on my door. I'm going to leave it out because we tried to take it. Forget it, but that story. Anyway, so his nemesis was a guy by the name of Carl Jung. Because he wrote this Carl Jung guy was also one of those head shrinkers. I don't know what you call him. And he used to talk to spirits so that he could write his book about man's mind. Yeah. He wasn't a Christian either. So, you know, those spirits, they've been infecting us for a long time. So that was the only quote I got from that book from Carl Jung. Anyway, a lot of these psychiatrists, you know, when they find out what kind of problem some of their people have, you know, they become part of the problem, especially if they're beautiful or handsome. So we have to pray against that, and we have to pray against the narcotics. I prayed somewhat, and just for him to be focused, you know, for him to have a focus on God, because he respects God. There's an avenue there that he hasn't forgotten from his youth. So he did most of the talking. I just related this. Maybe some of you guys have some ideas about prayer, so I'll just ask our Lord for something here. And in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, you know my son-in-law, Zachary Crete. You know his past. You know his present. And Lord, we ask that you give him focus for he wants God. He likes God. But he's got these interferences. Showed me a book on all these plants they have that could be used as a pharmakia. So, Lord, he needs some help with that. He needs some help with his plants that he's growing, his narcotics. So, Lord, we ask that you give him a distaste for that, especially, you know, he's going to be a daddy now, so he needs to step up. And Father God, use your influence on him, draw him ever closer to you, even as your word says, which you do, and which you are doing with him. I believe you are. And Father God, he's got a Bible app on his phone, and he listens to Christian music. It was on. He could have done that for me, but I texted with him, told him I can't do this over the text anymore, so he might still text me, and he might still text Ben, too. But you started something with Ben when they went fishing, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would continue this and save him, for we need your almighty power and assistance in all these things. For we are your witnesses, and we are your children and good servants to you. And this is what we're here for. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do and continue to work in Zachariah Crete. And he reads your Bible. He reads your word. He's reading too much Old Testament, but you draw him to the New Testament, Lord. And speak to him, even as he showed me a picture of his Bible, which was open to John chapter 3. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you do something with him, that you continue. Heal him, Lord, of any infirmities. And take any of those COVID vaccines out of him and help him, Lord, In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I move. Thank you, Lord, for breaking the power of any psychotropic drugs that he might be taking. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that he will not be influenced by any satanic psychoanalyst, psychiatrist, any of that kind of stuff. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just ask and we pray, Father, that you take over and show him the way, Father, the real way. And we praise you and thank you for that, Father, to your glory. To your glory, Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Ben. Let me get Ben. Pat, I get right with you.
I'd just like to add on to that.
Okay.
I want to rebuke any sort of spirits of witchcraft or any sort of faith in the bad news, Father. Father, I want you to press into Zach that he can have faith in the good news and that he's set free from this curse that people are trying to bind on him, and any sort of pressure that he's feeling, he can take it to you, Father. Father God, he knows the verses. He knows that he can go to you. Just give him the will to do it, that he can just let it go, and that he can humbly go towards you, and that he can be bold in that faith, and be bold enough to speak about it, and be bold enough to walk in it. Thank you, Father, for doing this in my brother-in-law, for bringing him back from wherever he was before, and from taking him out of the little bind that he was in. And we thank you, Father, for opening something up in him. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
Father, we pray against the New Age spirit, too. That sounded pretty New Agey, but there was some of you in there, too, Father. So we pray that you would advance him in the scriptures and in your word and with you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. We bind up and cast out every fiery serpent that's been thrown on him in Jesus' name. Right now.
Lord, we look to his wife also, Megan Crete, who is got a little baby in her. So we pray, Lord, that we pray against any sort of Jezebel spirit and for her to remember some things from her youth, Father. She had a lot of religion. And she had some really good instruction, too. She was very level-headed in things. So, Lord, reach her somehow that way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Go ahead, Julie. You're muted.
I was waiting for you to give me permission. Thank you. I want to add on to that, too. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Zachariah and Megan. Thank you, Lord, for their marriage and their family that you have given them, Lord. Your blessings on them, Lord, and your future for them as you planned. And thank you, Lord, that he is reading the Bible and that actually they're both interested, have a deep interest in for you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, you would draw them to Jesus, the real Jesus. And your word is alive and active, Lord. You speak to us in your word. And you know exactly where they both need to read, where they can hear you speak. And it would be real to them. And they would know, it's like, God just spoke to me. I need this. I need to do this. I need to repent here. You know how and where and the path that you have them on. And you direct their feet, Lord. You work all things after the counsel of your will regarding Megan and Zach. And I just thank you, Lord, for blessing them. I thank you that they are coming into the kingdom. They're giving up this worldly stuff, all the garbage that has polluted and defiled their minds, and distorted the truth, Lord, and has tried to mislead them from following the real Jesus. Just bind all that up. And I thank you, Lord, for removing that far from them, Lord. And they're gonna come running to you, Lord, and kind of like the prodigal son. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that we already have, and our faith can move mountains. Our faith can make the enemy, you know, turn and flee. And I know the angels are already at work. I know you're already at work in their hearts, Lord, because I know you're hearing their Ben and Andrew's prayer, all their prayers for them, Father. And we know and believe Paul's whole salvation. I thank you, Lord, you'll give them both great peace and put them in the rest that you're taking care of the they're going to see transformation. They're going to see changes, Lord, because of what you began.
Thank you, Lord.
You did begin that good work, Lord. We bless them. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for your help.
Go ahead, Pat. Excuse me. Thank you.
Father, just I agree with all these prayers for Zechariah that have been offered up. And we thank you, Lord, that you hear us. We thank you that you are listening, that you are ready to take down these walls in Zechariah's heart. We bind any spirit of false religion. We ask, Lord, that you would open up his eyes and reveal the deception, separate the deception, the light from the darkness. We thank you, Lord. Just utilize the word that is in his life that he has seen, recognized, believed, even though it may be dormant laying there. Lord, you you say that your word is a light unto our path and light to our footsteps, Lord. So I just ask that you would open up his eyes and allow him to walk and follow the light as you bring him into the truth. Again, we bind those spirits of religion, the spirits of anti-Christ that is coming against him in many forms, in false religion, false spirits, or any of those things. We thank you, Lord, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, you put even the smallest portion of your word that we believe has power to overcome and bring down the darkness. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that whatsoever we pray, believing we have received it, our Father will do it in heaven. And so I thank you, Father, that you've taught us, Lord, to pray in this way, and we thank you. We enter in to your victory in Zechariah's life, and we thank you for it. We give you praise for it, Lord. We thank you that you're bringing him into the kingdom in a solid way, and Megan as well. We ask that you would cover that household, even temporarily, cover that household with Andrew's, that he's in Andrew's under his umbrella of authority. And we thank you for it, Lord. And we just thank you for the blessing that is coming through his life in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of pharmakia as well. We bind the spirit of deception connected with that spirit, thinking of various nutritional aspects and this and that, all points and all things that may or may not be true. Lord, that you created all things, even plants, for provide certain benefits from for us. But Lord, you have provided the greatest plant in the tree of life for us to believe you, to believe your word, and enter into the heavenly. And so we just trust that you are bringing Zechariah in now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I curse every marijuana plant that we have. Uh-oh. Is he listening? I curse every marijuana plant he has planted to die as a sign to him that this is not of him and not of God. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that he'll get this, that he'll understand that the Lord wants him to use his ways rather than man's ways. And Father, I thank you that Zacharias is delivered, healed, and set free from the bondage of man's ways. In Jesus' name, that from this point on, he'll understand that God wants to do a work in him. And Father, I praise you and I glorify you for what you're fixing to do, what you've already done in Zechariah. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Father.
This is the couple we've been praying for.
Wait a minute. Let's see. Just hold it up there. Okay. Well, a good looking couple.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a cute baby.
Well, it probably will.
They've been having babies forever, you know.
Yeah.
Ever since they had them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Adam and Eve never got the experience how to be a baby. So, you know, you've got to experience sometimes, you guys who have those little ones, you know, go find out how it is to be a kid again.
Yeah.
Play with the racing set or something. Yeah. Or the dollies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You might learn something, actually. Maybe God will have something in it for you.
Absolutely.
You always got to try out their toys, you know.
Oh, I'm still a sucker for that. Yeah. I have one of those helicopters, you know, they fly around in the house.
Do you? You got a drone?
Well, it's still around there, you know. I got to plug it in. It hasn't been charged in a while. You know, that's something what? Ben got me. Before Ben was the Ben he is now.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can put you some scriptures inside that thing and bomb yourself with them as you fly it up there, you know. Let the scriptures fall out.
Yeah, you know, one day we got to fly away. You know, I have my airplane up here, you know.
There you go. That'll work. Amen.
I used to make model airplanes now. I know, you know, there's a movie back there, you know, where a guy gets crash landed in the Sahara Desert from the 60s there, and they made an airplane to get out of there, out of the old airplane. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, use that imagination.
And the guy who made the plane used to make model airplanes. Anyway, so I don't know why I remember that. It was Jimmy Stewart or whatever his name was. It's a long ago.
Yes, too. I remember him. Well,
we don't want to watch that stuff anymore. Anyway, so
I haven't watched a movie, and I can't tell you who.
I did watch a Christian movie, Courageous. You know, I cried through the whole thing. That's just the whole thing, you know, because, you know, he loses his daughter in the movie. This is some of the experiences that some Christian families might have to go through, too, you know. So,
yeah.
That's what happens when you don't watch anything for so long. Anyway.
Amen.
The news is bad, and I got to visit some people at work. And I asked them, so any of you find Christ yet?
Way to go.
Yeah.
Did you take your little amplifier and your microphone with you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I go to work because, I don't know, they put more money in my bank account that wasn't supposed to be there. Anyways.
You went to go up there to complain.
Anyway, it's probably going to come up to be more taxes for me anyway. Anyway, awesome. I told them because, you know, yesterday I went for my walk. Yesterday was Monday, right? Yeah. Okay. And I went for my walk and I ended up on the park across the street. And I sat on the park bench. It's the only park bench that is in the lovely shade. And this very, very elderly woman came up to me the other day. I told Zach about this. And she said, do you mind if I sit here beside you? It's the only bench in the shade. And I said, oh, I don't mind. And, you know, she looked like she was ready for going, you know, and she's sitting there, there's silence, you know, and I opened up and I said, you know, there's all these people in this park. This park is a well-used park. There's the pool for the kids, the beach volleyball for the teenagers. There's even lawn bowling over there for the elder people. And there's a baseball diamond in the winter. They have a skating rink put in. And I said, but do these people really think about God? And I managed to get a verse out, you know, from Ephesians 2:10, you know, to let her know that she could have a creation of Christ in her. She told me she went to a Catholic church somewhere. Well, she was very old. All her children she mentioned were old men and women now. So I just mentioned the Ephesians 2:10, and she kind of looked at me kind of puzzling, you know. And she says, where do you go to church? And I go, well, I just read the Bible a lot, you know. And I'm sure she's going to remember that she could be created in Christ Jesus, you know. And really powerful verse, I find. Because, you know, things that have been happening lately with the opening scene in the Olympics, I'm sure everyone knows about that. And, you know, they didn't have a lot of people who could read back then, you know, so they needed these paintings. And, you know, I was telling Ben that I saw a video of a Jewish guy using that picture of the Last Supper and saying, have you seen this picture? And this Jewish guy was talking to another Jewish guy. And of course he said, do you know who it is? And he says, no, I've seen the picture before, but I don't know what it is. And he says, well, this is Jesus. And then he's celebrating, and he used the Jewish word for Passover with his friends. And he looks at him and he goes, really? I never knew that. You know, and a couple of days later, I found out when the opening ceremony happened. This was weeks prior to me, before the Olympics, and then that came out. And anyways, you know, a picture is worth a lot of words, and people who can't read, you know, need something. And I'm not saying this so people could get angry with people. You know, we're not that way. You know, we don't judge anyone. We have an ability to have salvation given. So we need wisdom for that. So they need to be saved from something. Everybody needs to be saved, but people don't want to listen to the saving anymore. So it's a 3:17 John thing that we have to do. We have to be in that. And I'm sure you guys know. But just what these few things that I've done so far, you really have to be a good listener to the people, I find. And, you know, I was just reviewing the Overcomer thing. And David Eales and, of course, Michael spoke on the imagination. And, you know, you can mix them both together and to overcome with the imagination and to have that servant's heart. I'm going to look really good at John 4:34 to 38. Because I had to stop it there. And, you know, I keep a little kind of journal of what God's trying to teach me. And, you know, it's a nice thing to have, you know. You can go review things quicker that way. And I got some verses there that I recite every day. from John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Some key ones there so that they really get down in there, you know. I don't know how he takes it off the inky paper and puts it on your heart, but that's where it's got to be written. You got to be an epistle known and read of God. So, and it's not with ink, or it's not engraved in stone. It's written upon hearts of flesh by the Spirit of God. And that's the way it has to be. And you have it there, so don't say you don't have it there. And, you know, you go for walks and you go, there's not a lot of time left. I pray the Lord uses us to be a witness in some small way. You know, I mean, when the time's up, it's time's up. You know, like, what can we do after that? And we can't do anything because we're not sufficient of ourselves. And we cannot commend ourselves either. And that's in the same chapter. Of where the stuff gets written on your heart. So there's lots to learn in that chapter, you know, and it's that chapter, you know, with that famous verse at the very end, you know, that's 3:18 of 2 Corinthians. So we like that one. And so praise God and glory to God. And just praying, you know, for everything. We need God to get our vessels right and straight and good and focused and alive again. Praise God.
Amen. All right. I have a couple of little videos I'd like to play for y'all. It's really neat, and you'll see what I'm talking about when I play them. One of them is from the Olympics, and the other one is from about, what did I say, 11 months ago or something like that. Okay, y'all want to see it? It's amazing. These are two amazing things. So I'm going to play them. They're both kind of short. One's a minute and 54 seconds, and the other one's like, it's not in a minute. So we'll go ahead and share. Let's see if I can get this going.
Because God kept me.
Yemisi Ogunleye is a German shot putter with Nigerian roots who made headlines at the 2024 Paris Olympics by winning her first gold medal. What was even more beautiful was that when she was asked about her gospel choir background and what song she was thinking of during the event, the unexpected happened.
Last call for questions. Yemi, is it true you sing in the gospel choir?
Yes.
For what song was going through your head tonight?
After falling, I went back to my seat and I sang a song. It means I almost let go. It goes like this. I almost let go. I was quite at the edge of a breakthrough, but couldn't see it. The devil really had me, but Jesus came and grabbed me. He held me close, so I wouldn't let go. God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. So I'm here today, because God kept me. I'm alive today only because of His grace. Oh, He kept me. God kept me. God's mercies kept me. So I wouldn't let go. That was the song that I was just singing up and down.
Check this out. This guy has no arms and is in the pool, breaking records. Look at the technique. Look at the technique here. You see that? Just kicking. Just like a dolphin or something.
A fish.
Yeah, yeah. Now watch this. Watch how he ends. Watch how he ends. Because he got no hands. He's zooming. He's got no hands. Bam. Head first right into the wall.
Head first?
That's the only way to stop, I guess.
Yeah, that can't be safe.
When you're trying to break world records, you got to go as fast as possible into that wall.
I didn't have the right one on there, but you could see him all the way through there. You ought to see, you could tell the water dynamics that the water was just flowing over him. Just flowing. I mean, he was a half a body length ahead of everybody else. Yeah, he was swimming like a fish. He really was. He broke a record when he did it.
Can you find the one that you meant to play? I'd like to see it myself with everybody else.
Okay. Well, I will later. I got a meeting right now.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean this moment. I didn't mean right now, Michael. I'd like to see it.
Okay. Yeah, all you got to do is type in armless swimmer breaks record, and it'll show up. I thought that was so cool. There was two armless men in there, both of them from China. The guy that came in second was the other guy. Yeah. Yeah, that's just amazing. I have trouble, you know, I don't have any trouble swimming, but I mean, for goodness sake, swimming as fast as that guy does without arms, what could he do with arms? Probably slow him down, you reckon? Golly, that was awesome. And then that girl being able to sing a gospel song at the Paris Olympics, for goodness sake, that was awesome. Jesus is going to get through, isn't he? Praise God, that was awesome. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? One other thing, I'm going to make an announcement, and everybody listen up. Don't be turning away. Don't be looking at your phone. Look at me. Check. Look. Don't miss tomorrow night. Not going to be any teaching, but don't miss tomorrow night. It's going to be awesome. And that's about all I can tell you. David's going to tell you some things. Going to show you some things. Do some things. So it'll be awesome. You'll love it. And I'll tell you something else. Just pray against the deep state shutting us down, trying to shut us down. So pray against that. Let's do it right now. Y'all gonna believe with me? In the name of Jesus right now. Lord, I ask that you send your angels out there to find out who's trying to stop us and remove them. In Jesus' name. Whatever it takes, Father, and I thank you for doing that. I thank you, Father, that we're not going to have any more trouble in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning up the internet of these deep state Second Amendment taker awaiters, I guess, for lack of a better word, in Jesus' name. Yeah, keep us all hidden, Lord. Keep us all hidden. You know what's amazing is we've had people come up here and they couldn't get up here because the GPS wouldn't bring them up here. They'd call us and we'd have to go get them and bring them up here. The Lord hides us. That's awesome. That's happened a number of times through the years. And can hide you too. Ask him to do it. Ask him also to purge your name out of all deep state records. Lord, I just ask that right now in the name of Jesus right now. All who want their names purged and their records purged out of the deep state records, Lord. We just ask that you do it. Jesus' name. We ask the angels to go out and purge our name and our records out of their records. Our information. In Jesus' name. Lord, if we're a non-entity, there won't be any problems. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Anybody got anything they want to pray or talk about? I was going to let this be a potpourri tonight. If somebody had something they wanted to ask a question and talk about or wanted to know something about something, I'm sure somebody would know something about it. How many of you know what translation is? How many of you are very familiar with it? How many of you have done it? All right. Tell us about it.
You translated out of the powers of darkness and into the kingdom of my Father's Son of his love. That's right.
How many of you been two places at one time? I have. Everybody in here has. Everybody in here has. You sit it at the right hand of the Lord and you're down here. And three places if you're married, because you're one with your husband too. You go with how he do. Or your wife. Yeah. Absolutely. So you see, God, that's why we keep saying, don't put God in a box. Yeah, Pat.
I asked the Lord this morning to clarify healing. Well, my question was, does all healing utilize the reversal of the timeline and the restoration of a believing timeline? Does all healing incorporate that? And in the first question that came to my mind when I asked that question was, in other words, if we ask God to heal something, heal our eyes, if he utilizes the same timeline reversal and reverses it back our the health back to a place where our eyes were healthy, and brings them forward in a believing timeline, I can understand that, but my question was, what about those who are born they're born with deficiencies, deformities, unhealthiness, or whatever? And I started to think about David mentioned that our prayer, our faith, sets the parameters. And that healing that we may seek or are seeking doesn't necessarily have to go back to the healthiest point in our life. But we have been adopted into the family of God, as we just said, translated out of delivered out of a kingdom of darkness and placed in Jesus. So there's the thought or the aspect that timeline could reverse all the way back to Jesus. And what even stops it at that point? Why couldn't it be go all the way back to its created intention? God's created spoken intention for those eyes. Or any other thing. We obviously were created in Genesis 1:26. So we were created all the way back at that point. So what is the limitation that that timeline can go back to and then restore and come forward? So these are definitely questions that, you know, that I had. And based, I'll have to say, that whole concept is very new to me, to my awareness. I, you know, can say that I've never, even thought about that concept before. But, I'm not going to say how to manifest it as much. I'm going to say how to experience that reality. Is my prayer, you know, is how can we be, whether it be solid in experience or solid in confidence or solid in faith or all three or all, you know, the whole thing. You know, my desire is to enter in completely into Jesus and, to be able to be used in whatever limits he sets, and whatever parameters he sets in my life. So, I mean, you know, just these concepts, even the concepts, you know, that we've, listened and learned about as far as, quantum faith, quantum mechanics, that whole thing, and how, it's being proven as reality, even in the world today, you know? So, I don't know if every time I start talking, I end up in prayer, praying, you know, for certain things, but I guess my prayer and my question would be, Lord, grant us the grace to apply these things that you're teaching us, that you're opening up our awareness to, and allow us to understand and be set free within us, set free to provide you the unlimited resource that you've created us to be by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be raised to walk in that newness of life that you've provided for us. Thank you, Lord, that there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made us free from the law of sin and death. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you that He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord. I just bless you for your victory, your grace, to overcome even as you overcome. And we thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for the power of the gospel, the power of your imagination released within us to walk in the heavenlies and walk in this earth in the same time. And we thank you for it, Lord. Just grant us grace to walk in the release that you have purchased for us, Lord. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What comes to my mind, Pat, is one verse. Actually, there's two of them, but be it done according to your faith. Whatever you believe in, you know, that's what will happen. And what really affected me a lot was listening to Brandon in that YouTube when Jesus told, can y'all hear me okay? When Jesus told him, you were cupping your ear there, Andrew, and I didn't know if you could hear me. But when Brandon said that the Lord told him after watching the two guys beat him, and he said, you accept healing the same way as you do your salvation, and you defend your healing the same way you defend your salvation, and you confess your healing just like you would your salvation. And the way you do that is do not. I was telling someone today, do not talk against it. You know, somebody says, well, you're limping. There's something wrong. No, ain't nothing wrong. No, what are you talking about? No, I'm here. That's what the word of God says, and that's what I believe. I'm here. Well, you're limping. No, that's not me. In Jesus' name, I'm here. You have to be dogmatic about it. And he said, one other word he used was tenacious, I believe. He used the word tenacious. And whether you believe it's going to be another timeline or not, whatever, it makes no difference. You just believe that you're healed. You just believe that you're delivered. You just believe all the things that the Word of God has told you, and you don't confess anything but that. The first time, listen to me, the first time that you offer a negative to your healing or your deliverance, you've just taken away everything that you believed for. You've opened the door. You've just nullified the Word of God. If you believe that, man, that's why I have actually changed my life in the local here. I do not confess anything that I'm believing for in the negative. Somebody said, you hear what I said? Yep, I heard you. Well, did you understand it? I understood every word of it. What did I say? Not your business. You know, that's what you got to do. You stand on the word and you don't allow anyone to try to trip you up and get out of it. That's what God was talking. Did you allow someone to trip you out of your salvation? That's what Jesus was talking about. You have to be strong in your conviction that you're healed. And watch what happens, because it'll manifest. It will manifest. The Word of God is true, and every man's a liar. Okay, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, for some reason, I like what you said there, Pat.
Yeah.
But you see, here's a verse here that's very close to the verse of John 14 and 12. Amen, amen, I say unto you, who believeth unto me? Now, you got to circle me there. You got to write it down sometimes on a little piece of paper. The works that I do, and I know sometimes you get a little nervous about this verse, you know, but no, don't do that. You got to block them right away. You can read it and he can try to block you. Shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And we know he's seated in the heavenly places, right in the right hand of the Father, right? So, and we're there too. And he's closer to you than a brother. But you know, there's a, when Michael was speaking there, when you were speaking, Pat, it led me to this verse in the 10th verse here. And when Michael was talking about manifestation, I saw the word manifestation, but it doesn't say manifestation in the 10th verse on John 14. It doesn't even say shine. It's in the verse. So I'm just going to, hopefully you can hear it. This is John 14, 10. So it's two verses above 14. Did anyone just get that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Got it.
Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Question mark. The words, this is N-E-N-T, okay. The words that I say to you, I speak not from myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. That's the shining. That's the manifestation right there. And it's in me. And he's somewhere else now. And you know where he is. So I don't know if that helps anyone there. This is one of the ones, the first ones that I try to quote every morning. And well, I've been starting to quote it every morning. And it just, you know, his word that was coming out of Jesus' mouth was also his works, God's works. And it's God's word. And we know that God's word, according to Luke 1:27, is, for no word of God shall be void of power. So, you know, there's a lot in this 10th verse here, you know. And again, you know, this is not going through your head when you're saying the words, but are they supposed to be, or are they just there for us to have, you know, the same words of creation? And you know, we're made to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So why not just let him make us? You know, because it's unto everlasting life. You know, John 3:16 is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth unto him, and that's the way we're seated there too, because he's making us, we are going through our exchange, and you know, I guess it happens a lot more than when you want to change some American dollars to Canadian or something, but it takes a little longer than that. So, because you know, he's got to look for all the counterfeits that are in us and take them out first. And the counterfeits have been going on since Adam and Eve fell. So we are pure, yes, but sometimes we don't feel so blessed, but that's the wrong way to think about it, because we have different feelings now. Because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So we have to see what he's doing with us, and the witness must continue. You know, you don't want a bad witness to come your way in any way. You know, a word that's not the word. And, because it'll make a different work, just like it says in 14:10 here. You know, if this is God manifesting through Jesus, and Jesus is in us, then I can see why he said amen, amen. I don't know if it's our inhibition to see this word changing to a works, as it says in 14:10 here. I don't know what it says in 14:11. That's the only one I didn't copy down here. But you know, there's 12, 13, and 14. It of course, that 12th verse is what we all desire, you know. And it does say unto me there, you know, amen, amen, I say unto you, who believeth unto me, it's progressive. Now, I don't know if we hit a next step there, when with God's going to plan to do in the future, but if it's unto this four-letter word, you know, I sure hope that these English people got it down right here, because that's the only thing I can go by. And unto me, the works, which comes from the words that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatever ye shall ask in my name. Now, I don't know. Maybe someone has to take you and go get baptized again and get drown you or something. I don't know. So you got to get drowned in my name. Because there's a lot of word in his name. And he magnifies. God will magnify it. We have to have our hearts sincere. We have to have our hearts zealous. Yes, but, you know, what is the earnest of this? Or an earnest expectation? Who does it come from? You know, like, that's God's hope. We got to step into this hope. He has an earnest expectation for us. So why is it that, you know, that's in 8:19 of Romans, when you're going to become a son. Okay. So he's got an earnest expectation for us. So we got to be available for that earnest expectation to the point where God wants us. And then again, he is sovereign. So I can't say I'm trying to turn you backwards here, but, you know, yes, there is a mind that's in heaven. And your mind is there. You know, set your mind on the things above, not on things upon the earth. You know, if that mind is there, you know, that loving mind, then the love has an earnest to it. Earnest expectation. Is it ours or God's? Do we step into God's hope? I asked that question last time. You know, do we do that? You know, because, yeah, I read 20. We all know about 20 in Romans chapter 8. And then we read 21. And then you get to be a child at the end of 21. Then I said, well, up here it says son in 19. You know, do I pop back up there? But the earnest expectation is God's hope. And I go, well, if God hopes for something, does it get stopped? Well, we could stop it. And I'm not saying I'm arriving yet, but I'm just saying this because it's coming out of my mouth right now. So, I just would like for this to click in us, and for this hope, that God's hope for us. And he says it's already finished. That's what I was told, you know. And you tell me here this, and we have to have that assured expectation of 19 happen, but it started when we were all put in that vanity first, you know. So I went from 20 to 21, and then I went back up to 19. Yes, there's the whole thing is repeated when you go chronologically from 20 to 21, and then it goes down further, and to finally get to the sonship, which is down further in Romans 8. But you know, it's kind of like you read all the book of Revelation, and then you go and read Matthew 24:9-15. There's an overview of that whole book in those few verses, and then you there's a longer way around, but the unto is still at the same end, because God produces what, and we know what it says in John chapter 10, but God produces what? If you're a child of God, is a child of God better than what you were before? Yes. And I just want the maturity to come for all of us to the ability that God gave. If you got two talents, God's the only one who's going to produce the other two. If you got one, don't hide it. Don't do what the other guy did there. Produce 100%. You know, for instance, I've used Perpetua and Felicitas. One could be very educated, and the other one couldn't, but they both got a martyr's crown. So, what was the talent of both of them? Maybe three for Perpetua and one for Felicitas, but they all got the 100%. I mean, if you get 100%, you get 100% on your exam. So, if the words are the works, if we can get a hold of that, boy. And why would, you know, would we ask for that when it's already given? Like, are we taking this out of context? Are we getting a little bit too backward when we should be going forward? I don't know. Like, I hope I can have some more input on this. If something came to someone else, I'd like to hear it. You know, like we can recite history and go all the way back to history and see all the goof ups, but we don't get the goof ups, do we? You know, are we shy to do what God wants us to do? Or are we too polite? Like Canadians, they're supposed to be polite, you know. I think we're losing that. Anyway, is there two polites, you know? This polite mind in heaven, heavenly places, is the different polite from the polite mind. Anyway, I just pray that the Lord has a plan for us to fall into his expectation. And yet he gives us the expectation to do that expectation. And he called it an earnest expectation. And I believe that earnest is in the fruit of the Spirit, because I've been trying to define that earnest by the Word of God. You know, you could, you, like I told these guys once, I looked up eschatology in the dictionary. It was all negative because the person who wrote it was not a Christian. But if I was to write it, I wouldn't put death and judgment. I would put life and righteousness, the study of heaven and hell they had in there. And you know, you could look up the word church and see the way the lawyers like it. And it's wrong. It's wrong if you know what it says in the Bible. So define your words from the word. Yeah. Because that's what's going to work. Make God's works. That's all I got so far. So praise God. Glory to God.
Praise God. I wondered, while you were speaking, I was thinking about Jesus and how he did everything. He'd go pray and ask the Lord. And the Lord was showing, remember I told you the other day about the old time books talked about Jesus going out and praying, and he tell the Lord, he tell the Father what he did that day. You know, well, Father, I just did this, I did that. The lady with the issue of blood, she was here, praise God, you know, and he did tell him everything. And then when he got through, he'd ask the Lord, he said, Lord, what is it you'd like me to do tomorrow? And that's what the Lord would do. The Lord would tell him, well, Jesus, son, if you want to, you can go over there and raise Lazarus from the dead, you know, that'd be a good thing to do. That'd get some attention. And whatever it was, but I think, well, I know that the Lord wants us to get to that place to where we listen to him. We all know that we're geared to do something, aren't we? I know when I first came into the kingdom, you know, I wanted to do everything all at once. You know, I wanted everything. But it just, as you know, you take baby steps and come in. You could go as fast as you want to, and you could go as slow as you want to. But if your heart's right, and you want to go with whatever God wants, you'll go to the place to where you can hear him.
Yeah, so, you know, I just want to mention something.
Yes,
when
sir.
I got those texts, you know, I didn't want to go over. And I was going, I'm just thinking about that now, and I'm going, that's a temptation in the wrong direction. We don't have time for that guy to tempt us in the wrong way. And I'm not saying that I did this. I have to walk there. I don't have a car, you know, and I'm working on some other stuff for transportation now, but, you know, I have to let the Lord work it out for me. And so, you know, you suddenly get in your head, what? Wait a minute, you know? He just invited me over, you know, and he's my son-in-law, and yeah, I have to walk. He drove me back, you know. And I know from the texting, you know, you got to see the person's face. You can't, you know, just plug in a whole bunch of verses there, you know. But, you know, that could have been what God wanted at the time, you know. So it's tough, you know, when you're faced with these things and you go, am I just too lazy? Or is it because I worked so long in a university that they make you crazy over there in a secular world? And I pray against these things, you know. So the focus here is a life and death. And now don't let anxiety get you here. You know, because we, heaven and hell, you know, we don't want the other side to interfere. And that's just it, you know. Like, the other side is tenacious against us to do these things. No, get out of here. And saying that is what we want. And we've got someone on our side. But, you know, there should have been no but there. So, it's just amazing. When we get a hold of it, it'll be great. Because you think sometimes, I don't know, maybe you think you're going to fall down. Or you're going to get messed up. I don't know. So what's the Lord have for us tomorrow?
Yeah.
I had more of the same a lot, like.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Andrew. What if the Lord said, Andrew, I need you to go down to Minneapolis and see this certain person? And then you say, well, Lord, I don't have a car. I don't have a way to go. How am I going to get down there? Or should you say, okay, Lord, I'll go down there. I'm just going to believe when it's time for me to go, you're going to translate me down here.
Well, and like yesterday at the park bench, she came over and she sat down and I said, will the Lord be with me if I say something? Get away from me. It's subtle, but it comes, and you're there. After the fact, I walked up and walked away, and I was going, I hope there's something positive, I said goodnight to her, have a good evening too. And it was really hot yesterday, so just thinking of this very elderly woman, like if she's got gray-haired children, she must be really old, but she's mobile and walking around, so she didn't look too healthy, but anyway, don't know her name, she had an accent. Oh, yeah. Nobody likes to talk to anyone up here. Now, the old people still can talk, old farts like to talk a lot, and on the bus having conversation with the person because they're elderly and they're lonely. They don't have anyone to talk to, I think. And I don't know. Yeah, Lord, lead me, guide me, and keep me. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead, Pat.
I kind of forgot what I was going to say, but it'll come to me here. As Andrew was talking about... trying to pull up my e-sword. It's talking about Romans 8:18. And some of the things he was saying related to that expectation. I still have to go back and listen to those. I think, or look into those two words that you were talking about, Andrew. But it kind of reminds me of the picture the Lord gave me. It was from a song that Rich Mullins did. The song was called Home, or Going Home or something. I don't remember now what it was. I think I actually sang that song on one of our meetings or something, but that song brought to me, and I could see working out in his life the intense desire or craving that was within him to be close to Jesus, to be, I guess, home. And this expectation there in Romans 8, I think you were talking about in 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation awaiteth for the revealing or revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to vanity, not of its own will, but the Lord subjected it. I'm kind of going off script here, but that the creation itself also shall be freed from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And I think, is that word children, is that, I believe that is actually the word for children, not the word for sons. If I'm not mistaken, yes, it's the word for children, children of God. Obviously, we know that there's a difference between children and sons, children being born again, birthed into the kingdom like babies, sons, as babies grow up, consuming the milk of the word and learning to walk in the strength of that word, are able to grow up and mature and consume meat, and that meat being consumed brings those children into the reality of their sonship and the responsibility of the sonship of God, or sons of God, I guess you might say, prepared, matured, and prepared in order to take on the Father's work, take on the, and as I think about that, I think just in the earthly realm of, people that create large businesses or, you know, big successful businesses, and they want to hand it down to their children. And so many of those businesses, quite a few of them, their children don't want to take those. You know, they may sell them or do whatever they want to do, but they don't really take the business and grow it and continue on with the, I guess, legacy of that business. But there are a few that actually grow up and at some point in their life decide that the Father's business was so much more significant. Well, taking over the Father's business was of more value and more important to them than their own pursuits, the freedom to pursue their own desires. And to a certain degree, their own particular goals and desires had to be set aside or even shelved in order to take on the Father's business. And so, and that, I believe, comes from a certain expectation within them that is in them. That was placed in them, probably unbeknownst to them, and maybe in what I believe, they were created with that expectation to seek out, to follow their desire, and if they follow that desire, it will ultimately lead them to the Father. And I believe that every one of us that are born again Christians in this world has that expectation functioning within us that God planted day one, right at day one, spoke it into existence at the creation, and it was placed for us. And here we were, each one of us, not only, I speak not only of, say, the people in this group, but the people hearing us, but all through history, we were sitting in that holding tank in the spirit, whatever that is, we were in that holding tank until the proper time that God had prepared us for or created us for. And out of the holding tank, we came and were breathed into a body and brought into a family. Wherever we plugged into this earth, God brought us into this plan of His. And in that process, God took us from that perfect state and made us subject to the vanity of this realm. And why did He do that? Because and so I go back to looking at some of those verses in Romans chapter 6. Because I'm getting out of this. Let me get out, back out of this. Because there's some words there that tend to point to a significant need that needs to be developed within us as human beings, and that is there has to be a release. There has to be a development, a formation of our free will, so that children can grow up, become sons, or become what's the word I'm thinking of? Able to be sons by our free will, and then at which point there's a participation of our being in the operation, shall we say, in order to create a son. I'm speaking from God's perspective. In order to create a son, I need to have an individual that understands enough and is aware enough of his own being that he has in his right mind, he has the choice to reject or accept me. And when we are in that place, or at least recognize that there is a personal participation of our volition that God wants to bring alive within us. Somewhere in that realm, our participation is necessary to enter into that sonship. And that is indicated in a few verses there in chapter 6, verse 4. It says, we are buried, therefore, with him through baptism. Thank you, Lord, for Andrew and his experience here as of late. It's a tremendous testimony. Unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk. That word might walk has the inference of a personal participation. We might walk or we might not walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness, or I think in the numeric, it says, we shall also be of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. Might. There's another indicator there of personal participation of our volition is the way it seems to me. That knowing this, that our old man was crucified, fact, it was crucified. How was that old man crucified? It wasn't the old man of my soul, which having been breathed into my body by the Spirit of God, brought to life my soul. It wasn't my soul that was back there being crucified in Jesus. It was my spirit, it was our spirit that was in Jesus at that time, my own personal belief. That our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Again, might indicating a personal participation in the process in whatever form, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. So, and if you look at like verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Let not. Another indication that there's a requirement for us to participate in this process, to whether through faith, through volition, through, you know, it is God who works his will to do. I don't remember what that scripture is. Maybe Andrew remembers in Corinthians, to will and to do of his good pleasure, etc. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Why does he say that? Because we have the ability to do that. Do we have the ability in and of ourselves to reign over our body and sin? No, but Jesus has a way for us to overcome even as he overcame, or he wouldn't have said it in the word. And it's all over the word. Let not sin therefore reign. Again, it's a personal participation element there. So verse 16, know ye not that to whom you present yourselves, you present yourselves as servants unto obedience? Again, to obey, that we're obeying, that's a personal participation in this process. His servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin or in death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered. And I'm gonna stop there, but I guess, my rambling, I think I was keying off of what it is, that expectation that God planted there within us, is that very the only thing I can think of is that ring around the rope that they throw you in the water when you're drowning, and you latch onto that thing and they pull you through the world. They pull you through life and bring you into the ship to safety. And that very rope is that desire and that expectation that God planted in our hearts, that we would be satisfied with nothing less. Then knowing the reality of God and to be in his presence. So praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Pat. Oh, glory to God. Can I read you something? This is something that E.W. Kenyon said. I was trying to type it in there, but it'd be quicker for me to say it and try to type it in there. He said this, and these are good works. Good work.
That's my mic over here.
From E.W. Kenyon, he said, careless speech is a vicious habit. This is off topic, but it's for us. Careless speech is a vicious habit. When one realizes that his words are the coin of his kingdom, and that his words can be either a cursing influence or a blessing, he will learn to value the gift of speech. control your tongue or it will control you. You often hear men say, I speak my mind. That's well if you have a good mind. But if your mind is poisoned, it's not good. An idle word spoken aloud may fall into the soil of someone's heart and poison his entire life. What a blessing good conversation is, and what a curse is opposite. Make your tongue always a blessing, never a curse. A person is judged by his speech. Your words make you either a blessing or a curse. Your words may carry a fortune in you. Learn to be master of your conversation. Isn't that awesome? Well, I need to tag that onto my forehead. You know, the Lord tells us, and the Lord's been convicting me a lot here lately to be a lot quieter and to speak only to encourage people. And that's what we all should do. We should all be encouraging one another and bringing us up and building us up in the most holy ghost. Isn't that right? Most holy way. And so I thought I'd read that. I haven't seen this in a long time, and it just appeared. I don't even know where it came from on my desk here. I haven't seen this in a few years. It just appeared here. So I said, well, maybe God wants me to speak that. It's called loose talking. Learn to be master of your conversation. Ain't that special? The more quickly, here's something else. I don't really know where it came from. The more quickly I recognize that the very air about us is filled with hostile forces who are attempting to destroy our fellowship with the Father and to deprive us of our usefulness in the service of the Master, the better it will be for me. All power is in the name of the risen Christ Jesus, who is seated at the Father's right hand in the heavens. That's right. All power is in the name of the risen Christ Jesus, who is seated at the Father's right hand in the heaven. Where is that power in us? Same place. In Jesus. Where's Jesus? He's right here. I don't know where he is, y'all, but he's right here with me. Amen. Y'all mind if I just read this? A lot of this is just going haphazardly. It's pretty good though. Y'all mind? We got a few minutes left. I got the floor. Okay. I cannot use the name of Jesus effectively while out of fellowship with God. That's why we need to be repented up in it. We need to ask God's forgiveness. You know, if we sin, we ask Him to forgive us. He's automatically done. Well, it's already done. You're back sanctified, and then you go back and say, "Oh man, I messed up." Lord, what do you mean you messed up? He don't remember it. He says it's out of me. It's as far from me as the east is from the west. So, a lot of times we like to condemn ourselves and say, you know what, well, you're messed up. God's not going to blah, blah, blah. The more quickly I recognize that the very air about us is filled with hostile forces who are attempting to destroy our fellowship with the Father and to deprive us of our usefulness in the service of the Master, the better it will be for me. All power is in the name of the risen Christ Jesus, who is seated at the Father's right hand in the heavens. I cannot use the name of Jesus effectively while out of fellowship with God. It is vitally important that I stay in fullest fellowship at every moment If I lose my spiritual initiative, I'll lose something that will drive me through the hard places. And I cannot afford to take a negative attitude toward the word. If I do, my holy fearlessness will be lost, and my heart will not say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And when my spiritual initiative is low, I will not be able to say, greater is he that is in me than is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than the forces that surround me. And if my heart loses this boldness and fairness, this, when acting on the word, I'll be in danger. I don't know where it came. I'll tell you, I don't know where it came from. I know I probably did it. I do stuff like this a lot, but I hadn't seen it, and I don't even remember it. So I just believe God wanted us to know that. Anybody got anything else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Sorry, can I just ask that what you're reading now was it out of a book of E.W. Kenyon? What's the book's name?
What about E.W. Kenyon?
What's the book? Where did you get it, Michael?
Off his piece of paper. I don't know which book it was. Joe, it just came off his piece of paper. That's why I was saying, I don't know where it came from. It just came right in. I saw it and I said, what is that?
Okay, all right.
When I started reading, I said, well, the Lord must have wanted me to say this. So. Loose talking. Shut up. that's for me. That's for me. That's not for y'all, because I know y'all walking the walk. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Oh, man. All right. Now, don't forget about tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it. I'm telling you. It's going to be awesome. I'll tell you what it was all going to be about, but I don't know. I know a little bit. I don't know much. I ain't telling you more than that. Yeah, it is. It's always awesome, but tomorrow night's going to be awesome. That'll pique your interest, get everybody up there. Yeah, Joe, don't ask me what it's going to be, because I don't know.
No. Sorry, I'm still on that previous topic about thing you read. Would you mind, I know it's a special favor I'm asking, would you mind take me a photograph of what you're reading, please, and send it to me?
You talking about this thing I just got through reading?
Yeah, can you
sure.
Can you give me a photo of it?
Sure, I'll type it out.
No. Or you can just send me a photo of it if you don't mind. Well,
that'd probably be bad, because it'd be a week and a half I had to type it out. No, I can type pretty fast, but yeah, I'll send it to you.
I was going to say, Michael, if you want to send it to me, photocopy it or whatever. Do you have a copier on or a scanner on your printer?
No, I just have a lazy jet.
I said I would type it up for you if you want.
Okay, all right, I'll take a picture and send it to her. She'll send it to you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Can send it to whoever you want to. It's whoever you want to shut up, man, just send it to him. I'm just saying. Yes, I'll send it to her and let her type it. That would probably be best.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I wish I did have it. Well, you know, we've got a scanner on that one downstairs. Might be able to do that.
Michael, isn't your cell phone a scanner on your cell phone? I'm sure
I got a camera on it.
Yep, I think there's a setting. Maybe Julie is more than I am. I'm sure there's a setting we can scan it. But maybe I'm mistaken, but what I'm not sure thinking about that. Maybe Julie would know.
I don't know if you have a lot of printers, if you have them set up and you can, if it's, yours is plugged in, it's not like a wireless, but a lot of those you can, well, even you can send them to an email address. I'm just saying you can scan something, copy something, send it to an email address from your computer, but I don't know if that's yours, if your computer is set up that way.
I don't know if I got one.
I totally understand. Yeah. Okay. We'll get it worked out. We'll figure it out.
I'm going to take a picture of it and send it to her because that's the only way I know how to do it. Okay. Anybody else got something they'd like to share for the next couple of minutes or pray about?
Can you send it to me too, as well, please?
That'd be up to Julie.
Okay.
I would type it up and send it to you, Michael, and you can forward it out.
How about you do that and you type it up? You're starting up to loose talking and it goes all the way down and then back over to the top. That's kind of weird, but that's the way it works. That's the way the Lord set it up. Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
Anybody got anything they want to pray about? I tell you what I'll do. I'll send it to everybody. How's that? Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
Okay. So Sue and I were walking today, and some of you, I remember Donna, who lived just down around here, Donna. Remember her, Michael? Crystal's mother, Donna.
Yeah.
Okay, and she passed away several months back. And so God did miraculous deliverance for her, and he saved her, and it was amazing. She was always addicted to drugs real bad. Her past was horrible, but we just watched the change happen. She got off those drugs. She used to talk to and just be slurry and, you know, staggering, and God saved her. And then he took her. So Sue and I are walking today, walking past the house, and we noticed, of course, the house has been emptied out. But the daughter was there. Her daughter was there. And so we stopped and talked to her, and I said, "Oh, are you still taking some stuff out of here?" She goes, "No, we got all we want to get out before they just tear this thing down. They're going to do that." And then she said, "I just want to come here because my mom was here." And I said, "Oh, you just want to come here just for the feeling of it." She said, "Yeah." And then she started crying and said how much she missed her mom. And so she received me as I went forward her towards her to give her a hug. And then we prayed for her, and that God would really comfort her heart. And that I prayed in the prayer that how God had received, you know, Donna to himself because she had received him, and prayed that for Nicole. So as we walked away, so when I prayed for Nicole, and then we agreed together with Donna, maybe praying in heaven, you know, household salvation, and receive and believe in that. And we claimed it for Nicole. So I just want to pray for her, and everyone agree for her to be saved. And she's with some guy. I don't know if they're married. I don't remember if they're married or not. I don't really know. He was in the car. So I just wanted to pray for her because she was really broken up again. You know, she's really crying, but she was comforted. She allowed me to pray and she received that. And she said, I know mom's in heaven. I had a dream of her in heaven. So that's awesome. Anyway, I just wanted to pray for Nicole. Okay, so Lord, I just lift up Nicole to you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to run into her, Lord, and for us to be able to pray with her, Lord, and comfort her, Lord, and give her words of encouragement and give her your love, Lord. I pray, Lord, that she received your love through us, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just do a mighty work in her heart, Lord, convicting her of her need for you, Lord, and bring her the, thank you for the dream that you gave her. She didn't say what it was about, but except that she saw her mother in heaven. And, I just pray, God, that you will just put that in her, the desire to, be with you, give her life to you and be with you in heaven and share all that, share that with her mother. You know, Lord God, I just pray that you just save her, Lord. We just claim her for the kingdom. We can claim her for household salvation, as her mom, I'm sure is doing so, Lord. We just agree in that. And, we just thank you for the work you're going to do in her life. And I pray that you would just, do what you want to do in her life with this person she's with. I don't know. Maybe they're married, but Lord, I pray that you would, if they are, that you would save them both, Lord God. Just have your will be done in that relationship, Lord. And, I just thank you for touching her heart today, Lord, and we were able to be there and minister to her a little bit, Lord God. And I just know that you comforted her and continue to do so. May she turn her heart to you, Lord. And I just thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to end that grief, Lord, in her heart, Lord God. And told her the hope that there is hope that which just needs to grieve if she's in Christ. He will take that grief away and just put joy in her heart. And thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that for her, Father. Just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for household salvation for Donna Sane. Yeah, Andrew.
I just want to say that whatever I said was just for encouragement. You know, I can't say that I know the definition of all these smaller words that are in there, but in the scriptures. But my hope is that the grace of God would come out in all of them, for all of us. The favor of these things are in His hands. Maybe I stepped ahead of myself. Maybe. I just was enamored very much on how the words were so converted to His works, you know, on this verse here. So I just like to rest in His word. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. That's why I thank you. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're out of time. Lord, bless us. We thank you for that. Lord, draw us nigh unto you. He said, Lord, if we draw nigh to you, you draw nigh to us. I like that. Thank you, Father, for getting us as close as we can to you. And that's where we can see you and hear you and listen to you and get words of encouragement from you. And thank you, Father, for your leading through your Holy Spirit. Jesus' name. Give everybody a good night's sleep, too. Or good day's work, or whatever it is. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed, you know.